Well, Jesus said it best when he said, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." So one of the values here at Franklin Assembly of God is generous giving. And we want to be a church that gives. And a couple Saturdays ago, we had 12 people show up to serve and to give food onto the community. We served, it might have been up to 250 families. I gave a number between 220 and 250. So that was awesome. And we're going to continue to give in different ways. I know just Friday morning, Pastor Elizabeth went to the high school and she gave gifts on behalf of this church to the principals of the high school. So they are seeing that this is a giving church. And it's all because of your giving and what we can do. Well, this is the last in the series of Christmas carols, and today's message is Emmanuel. And it's based on Matthew 1:23, and you heard it a little bit earlier. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your word promises us, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, you came to be with us, Lord. So we come against any thought, anything from the devil or our own flesh, Lord, that would say different, Lord, that would isolate us or make us feel alone. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that your word is true. It's going to last forever. And Lord, that you said that you are with us, Lord. And we thank you for that. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the whole point of the Christmas Carol series is what a carol stands for to begin with. And it says the definition of a carol is to sing in a lively and joyous manner, to praise and celebrate in a song. And so I think about worshiping with song as like every time you worship could be a carol, right? And we're worshiping the Lord, and that's what we're joyously singing about. That's what we're praising the Lord and celebrating about him coming. And so today is all about the Christmas carol of O Come, Emmanuel. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing. There was originally 5 Latin verses, and through the years they kind of, instead of draw nigh, it became O Come, and these are the words that start off with the first verse. O come, Emmanuel, redeem thy captive Israel, that into exile, drear is gone, far from the face of God's dear Son. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. You got to sing it, you know, and make it rhyme. So, aren't you glad we don't talk like that anymore? So, O come, Emmanuel, originates, origins back to the 15th century that I could find in France. There are some that take it all the way back to the 12th century. So, it's pretty old. It's an old, old hymn. And just want to let you know, we won't be singing that today. Some of you are going, praise God, praise God. And John Mason Neal translated that from Latin to English back in 1851 is when it was translated. So that seems like a long time ago, but it's based on Matthew 1:23 and Isaiah 7:14, which was quite a bit further ago. And that's when people were really saying, O come, Emmanuel. Because what happened is the people pushed away God. They pushed away God, and they pushed him right out. And they didn't want God to be with them. Even though they were a great nation that was put in place, and God was in their presence, and there was the temple, the whole thing, they pushed God away from them. They did not want God's presence in their lives. They actually started worshiping other gods, false gods, idols, and all that stuff. And they didn't put God first in everything they did. And That was one of the things they were supposed to do. And they were warned about that. Always make sure you put God first. Because if you don't, what happens is you start pushing them away. And that's what the nation of Israel did back in the day. It was basically back about 740 years earlier than the birth of Jesus, when the prophet Isaiah said, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's the sign that Isaiah was going to say was going to happen. And for 740 years, the people were saying, oh, come, Emmanuel, because they had pushed him away. And it was that long of a time period. Now, this was a time when they didn't feel close to God. They didn't feel close to God at all, and they kept crying out, oh, come, Emmanuel. Isn't that funny how that happens? You know how when we start doing, living our own life the way we want to do things and just our own flesh, and what happens is when we don't put God first, we start pushing God away slowly. That's the first step, actually, is when you don't put God first, that's actually the first step of pushing him away. And so we want to make sure that we put God first in every way in our days. I mean, that's why we're here on Sunday. This is the first day of the week. And I know the Sabbath, officially the Sabbath with the nation of Israel, they celebrated that on Saturday. Well, that's the end of the week because God took those first 6 days and worked, and then he rested on the seventh. And they honor that by having the Sabbath on the seventh. But we honor Jesus and we honor God by putting him first with the first day of the week. Amen. And we move forward, and we want to put God first. In this time of season, we can get things mixed up a little, can't we? We can sing Christmas carols, we can give gifts and everything else, and not put God first at all. In fact, we can still feel like God is distant, even celebrating Christmas. But I want to ask you, why did the angels appear to the shepherds? Why did the shepherds go and start telling everyone and praising God about all the things they had seen that day and telling everyone about it? Why did the wise men show up and bow down and worship? Why? It's because God came down. God is with us. He wasn't far away. He wasn't distant. The prophecy was fulfilled that Isaiah had spoken. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. He's not a distant, far-off God who created the universe and just let it spin and hey, we're all on our own, and everyone's got to make up their own mind. You know, sometimes I get a little frustrated with our culture, and when I hear parents say things like, well, and they're talking about 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, saying, well, we're going to let them decide whether they want to go to church. Well, if that was the state of Michigan in the school system, then you're not going to let them decide whether they want to go to school, right? Kids don't know. You have to teach them. And now it's gone so far the other way. It's well, we'll let Jimmy decide if he wants to be Jill. And you can get so far off track when you don't put God first. You can get really far off track. But the Word became flesh. Jesus came down. He became human and to live among us. And that's where the O come, Emmanuel really is all about. It's all about Jesus coming down, becoming a human being, and being among us. The God that created everything came down. The God that spoke everything into existence, he came down. Jesus came down. The Son came down. And that's what Matthew 1:18 is all about. Here's how the Gospel of Matthew says it. It's in your outline, and it'll be up on the screen too. But It reads this way. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the question is God with you? Is God with you? And what I want to get across to you today is, yes, God is with you. I want you to go out of here knowing that God is with you. God is with you. And I'm going to give you three points on how God is with you. Because Emmanuel means, number one, that God is with you in the unknown. In the unknown. God is with you in the unknown. How many feel like that's one of the worst places to be is when you don't know what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, when you don't know what's going to happen or what's coming up, it's not a great feeling. Now, if you're watching a movie or something like that, oh, that's one thing, right? But in real life, people, you want to know what's coming up next, right? So here we go. In Luke 1:28 and 29, in the Gospel of Luke, it's recorded in this way. The Word of God says, the angel went to her, that's Mary, and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, here's what's surprising. The next verse, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, turn to the person next to you, whether he's behind you or she's behind you or in front of you, beside you, and say, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Let's do it together. Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. All right? Now, that greeting doesn't seem so out of place in church, does it? It's not that out of place in church, but let's just say, if you were in Walmart and someone came up to you in pajamas and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you, you would have a different kind of reaction, right?
Yeah.
Now, some of you aren't laughing. Maybe you're the ones that wear the pajamas. I don't know. But, you know, that's just funny. Anyway, the Lord is with you. That's not a saying that we want to use every day or we do use every day, right? It's not something you hear every day. It's almost like when you hear something like that, you're fearful of what's coming up next. What's going to happen now? And so you could see Mary being approached by this angel and that greeting taking place, and Mary's wondering, what's going to happen next? One version says she was confused and perplexed, troubled, and she didn't know what was going to happen next. And it's something. It's something when you're put in that position where you don't know what's going to happen next. But the reassurance is the Lord is with you. See, you can go through anything as long as the Lord is with you. So that's a perfect way to end a greeting like that, to say the Lord is with you. And there was a lot of things that are like that still today. People are afraid of the unknown. Mary was afraid of the unknown back then. And you know what else? Joseph was kind of scared of the unknown too. Both Mary and Joseph were concerned about the unknown in different ways. They were both probably a little bit afraid of what may happen. next in what was taking place. Now, you may be experiencing something in the unknown right now. Maybe you don't know if you're going to spend Christmas with family or spend it alone. Well, I want to tell you, God is with you. The Lord is with you. You're not alone. You might not be sure if you're going to be able to pay your bills this month because you spent more than what you should on presents, right? Well, I want to let you know, God is with you. God is with you. He's your provider. He's your provider. If you've been diagnosed with an illness or know someone else that has, and you don't know what's going to happen next, I want to reassure you, God is with you. He's your healer. Not sure what life would be like if you turned away from that sin? That's a big unknown to a lot of people. You might be into something, or maybe it's not that big a deal, according to yourself, and you try to tell yourself that. But even if you were to turn away from it, you're not sure what life would be like after you did it. And that's a fear of the unknown. But let me tell you something. God is with you. He's your Savior. That's why he came. He came to save you from that. He came to save you from whatever that is. God is with you. So don't be afraid of the unknown. God is with you. The second point I want to make is God is with you to help you make the right decisions. A lot of times we don't think that way. Our culture definitely doesn't think that way. But as a Christian, we can let that slip too by not putting God first, not going to the Lord first to inquire about something and ask about something and really just surrender it to him. And in Matthew 1:19 and 20, this is what happens with Joseph. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of background there, for the woman, that could have been a bad deal back in that day, because they actually brought the woman forward and made a public spectacle out of her, especially a virgin who was going to conceive, and someone, a woman who was going to be married to, betrothed to this man who is a righteous man, and here she is pregnant and everything else. Well, they made a public spectacle out of her in public, you know, a big public deal. And Joseph chose not to do that. Joseph chose to do that quietly, not to shame her publicly. And I really believe that was the first step of him moving in the direction where God is with him in this. And he's not choosing to push God away in that consideration. His flesh is probably messed up. He's probably hurt. He probably wants to, hey, I want to do that public thing. His flesh is probably telling him that. But he's a righteous man. So he's not going to go by what he feels like and do that. He's going to go by what God is directing him to do. And I believe that he was directed by God. He let God direct him in that case. But he was still going to do it. So God will move you from one decision making to the next level. From one level to the next to make the right decision ultimately. And so we gotta give whatever little we can to him, the first things, and see what God's going to do. And here's what happens. As he considered this, his mind wasn't made up, but he was considering doing this. He was going to do it in a quiet way. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So right there. Now Joseph, moving in the direction opposite of his flesh, moving into the direction of God, does something. He makes an opportunity where God can be with him. He doesn't push God away, and the angel shows up in a dream. Now, Mary and Joseph, they had a dream together. They were going to get married, and they were going to live happily ever after, and they're probably going to have this big wedding and everything else, and all these plans, and all of a sudden, God's plan got in the way of that. And sometimes that's how we can feel, is we make all our own plans, and we want it done our own way, and to move forward in our direction and our way of doing it, and then God's plans get in our way. See, when we don't fully understand the situation or don't understand God's plan in our life and something negative comes up, a bad situation comes up, what appears to be a bad situation, because to Joseph, this was a bad deal right here. He thought he picked a good woman, and here she is pregnant. But the Lord came and reassured him that wasn't the case. But he didn't fully understand the situation at all. And we can make emotional decisions. And we can make logical decisions. And the result of them can be a bad decision. A bad decision can kill your dream. But if you want your dream to be alive, and your purpose that God has for you to be fulfilled in your life, then you really have to put God first and move into the direction of not letting your emotions, not letting your eyes, not letting any of your flesh dictate what you're going to do. You have to surrender that to God's will and what his plan is. See, their plan was to get married. Well, guess what? That was God's plan for them too, right? He was just going to do it a little bit different. But in the end, it was going to be so much better, right? And so many times, that's what God has for us. And then our plans get a little bit messed up from a situation that appears to be all together, hey, it's wrong and all this. But it just may be God's plan to get you to where you're moving in the direction he wants you to be. Because in the end, he wants to bless you. He wants to be with you. He wants to just do something amazing in your life. Not just a one-day thing, like a one-day wedding for Joseph and Mary. This was going to be an all-time event of all creation. God in the flesh came down. God in the flesh was going to come down, and he was going to do it through their marriage. Now, just think about that. How amazing that is. So don't let your emotions, don't let your flesh, your emotions, don't let logic lead you into making a bad decision. There's a story about a young new businessman who had a dream of being successful. And he arranged a meeting, he had an opportunity to meet with a very famous, well-known, successful businessman, very wealthy person, be like Bill Gates, you know, almost like that. And he couldn't wait to have that one-on-one time with him. It was just going to be him and this very successful businessman. So he really only wanted to ask one basic question, and that was, how did this wealthy businessman become so successful? How was it? And so when he got together and he asked him, how is it that you became so successful in business and everything you did? And the wealthy man looked at the young man boldly, looked him right in the eyes, and just said confidently two words. He said, good decisions. Good decisions. Well, young man being a young man, it's like, well, He was wanting a little bit more there. He was waiting a little bit more detail. So he asked, how can a person consistently make good decisions? And then the successful businessman just looked at him and said one word. experience. Experience. Now, that's just a conversation killer for our young guy right there. Experience. That's like saying, no, you don't got the job because you don't have the experience. So, we all need experience. We all need to grow in different areas. So this young businessman continued with the line of questioning by asking him, how can one gain experience? How can one gain experience? And the wealthy businessman just, he went back two words, looked him right in the eye and gave him two words, and he says, bad decisions. You can imagine what happened. He was probably let down. But we all make bad decisions. Now, some people just tend to make more because some people are just aren't as quick as learners as other people who make bad decisions. There's quick learners and there's slow learners. And so we all make bad decisions. But what if there was a way to increase success in your life, in every area of your life? Would you want to know that? Would you want to know? Without having to learn the hard way, without having to learn through experience to make the right decision. What if there was a way? Would you want to know it? There is. It's this simple. Follow God's word. Follow Jesus. It's that simple. And that's just meaning follow God's advice. You know what faith is? Faith is just believing that God's word is true. You're believing it so much that you're actually going to apply it to your life and going to base your life on God's word so you can be successful. That's what faith is. Faith is just believing that what God said is true. And you do that by applying it to your life. God is for you. God is with you. He wants you to succeed. And it, not short-term success either. And sometimes that's what we try to do. We try to, you know, the get-rich schemes. I mean, look at the lotto. I mean, look at that. Come on. They've been saying for years how, oh, it's for the kids, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. And the school systems are worse now that they started the lotto in Michigan than they were before. But it's just a tax on the people that have low income. Hey, let's see how we can get more money from the people that don't make that much. So the government is an equal taker. They'll take from the rich and from the poor. But God is with you. He's not against you. He's for you. Amen. He wants to help you make the right decisions and for you to succeed. That's what he really wants for every single person. He wants people to succeed. I mean, that's why Jesus came down. That's why he came down. The third thing is, God is with you to save you from yourself. God is with you to save you from yourself. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, you know what? God has a real sense of humor, but he's also a God of order. And some people, when they read this, or when they read Emmanuel, he'll be called Emmanuel. They're like, well, wait a minute, hold on, time out. I thought he was supposed to be called Emmanuel, and you're telling me he's called Jesus? He's now, hold on. Now, what's amazing is both of these names are in the same context. They're both right there together. They're right there together. And like I said, God has a sense of humor, and also he's a God of order. He is a God of order. So first things are first. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to save you. His first name is Jesus. That's the priority. The priority is Jesus, because what does Jesus mean? The Lord saves. Because you'll call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's why they use the name Jesus. That's why the angel told them, call him Jesus. That's top priority. That's top priority for God, to save people from their sins. And then after that, if you keep reading in the scripture, right in the same context, we come to, and his name will be Emmanuel. Well, wait a minute, I thought it was Jesus. Well, hold on. It means God with us. And I've thought about, every time I read through this scripture, or at least lately, is that I know his first name was Jesus. I just wonder if his second name is Emmanuel. Of course it is. That's what it says in the Bible. But maybe his middle name actually was. But God puts things in order. His name is Jesus. That's top priority. He's come to save people. That's who he is. That's his character. That's his nature. That's him. And the second part of it is he's God with us, because that's how he's going to save us. Because he has to come and be with us to save us. He chose that way to do it. Before he even made the world, before he even created, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. So the plan had been put in place. The names were established. So his name is Jesus, first and foremost, to save you from your sins. And then, secondly, Emmanuel, because he's God with us, and that's how he's going to do it. That's how he's going to do it. He's not a distant God. He's a close God. He wants to be close to you. He's a relational God. He's not a religious, a religion kind of God. And that was the whole point when Isaiah said, he will be called God with us. Isaiah was telling his people that, hey, he's not distant. He's not so far away. He's actually going to come down and dwell among us. He's going to become human. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Because he's a relational God who loves you. And he listens to you. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. That's what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 6:2. In the Scriptures, God says, when the time came, I listened to you. And when you needed help, I came to save you. That time has come. This is the day for you to be saved. Amen. This is the day. So if there's anyone here today that is not putting God first in their life, that doesn't feel like, hey, they're close to God, or maybe you pushed God away, this is the day. This is the day to recognize Jesus and his character, that he saves. He'll save you out of your sin. He'll save you out of your situation. You don't have to worry. He's a God that's with you in the unknown. He's a God that will help you make the right decisions. He's a God that is with you to save you from yourself.
Hallelujah.
Because we all make bad decisions.
Yes.
He's a God that will do that. There's no question about it. God is with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
But the real question is this. Are you with God?
Yeah.
Are you with God? So let's stand.